Lord, may what I say and what we hear be glorifying to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As many of you know, I come from a conservative evangelical background, and what that means is when I first came to the Diocese of Newcastle, I'd only ever maybe twice seen somebody wearing a dog collar. I don't think I'd ever seen somebody wearing robes as I'm wearing today. And I hadn't taken part in any kind of real Lenten celebration. Conservatives, evangelicals can be a little bit gun-shy, I think, when it comes to things of the Christian calendar, particularly when you come to things like Lent. In fact, I was reading John Dixon, a Christian author who was writing yesterday, and he was repenting coming into Lent, saying that as he grew up as a Christian, he took great joy in saying, "I'm giving up Lent for Lent." I used to ask questions. Is it superstition? Getting caught up in the stuff as if somehow we're going to save ourselves by works. We're doing these acts of contrition that are earning us a right spot with God. I'd worry that maybe for some people does this feel like a prerequisite. If I don't do this, then I'm not good enough for God. And for others, I would wonder, do they think, well, if I do this, then I don't have to do the Christian stuff the other times of the year. This is the thing I've put aside and I can get done with it. One might look to the Joel reading and where Joel says, "Rend your hearts and not your garments," and think, well, is my heart in this or is this just an outer experience or an expression? And to be honest, for some, in my observation, this is an accurate assessment. Lent has one of those odd places in our society now where some people pick it up almost like it's the Atkins diet or something like that. I give things up for 7 weeks and then I'm done. Although, as an interesting aside, how many days are there supposed to be in Lent? Does anybody know? 40. But how many days between now and Easter?
46.
46. And that's because Sundays are feast days. And so people often forget that you actually take a break once a week from your Lenten acts and you have a feast day on the Lord's Day. There's a part of me that was superstitious and there was a part of me that was concerned lest I pick up an action that was all head and all outward but no heart. But as I've come to appreciate things like this, I've come to realise the great value of something like Lent, I think, particularly in our 21st century world. Excuse me. I think we live in a world where, more than any time in history, we have squeezed out every space that we would otherwise have for contemplation, for self-reflection, and for sincere self-assessment. I mentioned just the other week in a sermon, do you remember even 20 years ago if you were catching a train to Sydney, what would people be doing as they were sitting in the train? They'd be looking out the window, they'd be with their own thoughts, they'd be contemplating, they might be asking themselves questions. But of course now what are they doing? Beep, 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 beep. Playing solitaire or watching a video or something like that. We find in all of those little spaces, in the car we either have the radio going or we're listening to our podcasts. We have our mobile phones that follow me. I can be guilty of this as well. Even when I get to the shops, I stick my headphones in and I listen to podcasts as I walk around getting the things from the different aisles. We feel every moment that we have, so much so that they're now doing research on the effects of our sleep patterns because people are checking their Facebook right up to the very moment they hit shut on their phone, they put it down, and then they close their eyes, and I know that is often me too. So now I'm trying to put the charger in my kitchen so that I have to leave my phone and have some downtime. We have come to a time and a place where we don't contemplate, where we don't ask questions of ourselves, and where we are less and less comfortable with asking sincere questions about the fact that we don't always get things right and that we need God's help. Jesus made it clear, as we see in our Matthew reading, that he most definitely was not against fasting. But at the same time, he's clear that it's not about the outward aspects, as if we need to declare to the world, as I've seen some people do already on Facebook, this is what I'm giving up for Lent. But that we, in taking part in times like this, are seeking to lay up treasures in heaven. This is a time for us to set aside space in our days where we can contemplate God, where we can spend time in His Word, and where we can truly reflect on what it means for God, the God of everything, to become man, and for the God who becomes man to give Himself up on the cross, to die and to pay the penalty for our sins so that we might live. So what do we do as we come on a day like Ash Wednesday? We live with the tension even in the midst of Lent that these things are often the things that bring us comfort, because they're things that we do year in and year out, and that the church calendar is something that we get the flow of. But at the same time, this is a time for us to feel profoundly uncomfortable. We see a mark of ashes on our foreheads. We're reminded of the fact that we approach God in penitence. But we also rejoice in knowing that He is a God who loves us and who forgives us, and that we are moving in this pilgrim journey toward the time of forgiveness and new life. Let's bow our heads briefly and thank God for that. We do thank You, Lord, that You give us so many ways that we can express and experience in a physical way what it is to be Your people, a people of real need who are dependent on You. We pray, Lord, that as we consider this today, that we would allow ourselves to be honest and to approach You in penitence, in dust and ashes. We pray, Lord, that throughout the coming 7 weeks to 40 days, that we might be setting time aside every day to be in Your Word, to be praying to You, and to be carving out some silence in the midst of the busyness of life. And we pray that through this, Lord, that You might bless us with new understanding, a deeper appreciation, and a love for all that You do and all that You are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.